welcome to A Deeper Look in the Book. This program is brought to you by Bible Way Community Baptist Church in beautiful Irving, Texas, where our pastor is none other than Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert, Sr. This week, Pastor Wilbert will bring in a series of studies out of the book of Isaiah. So go grab your Bible and get close to your radio as we take a deeper look in the book.
Called of Isaiah, looking at Isaiah chapter 6, and I believe we got basically about halfway through the lesson, and I want to pick up with Isaiah chapter 6, and I just want to give you the answers. We want to go ahead and fill in the blanks. And then we'll go ahead and go into our lesson for tonight. But let's finish up last week's lesson. I believe we made it down to point number 3. Point 1 was the call of Isaiah. Point 2 was the confession of Isaiah. And then point 3 was the consecration of Isaiah, or you could say the cleansing of Isaiah, and you would see that in verses 6 and 7, where it talks about, "Then flew one of the serpents unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it up on his mouth and said, Lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sins are purged." And so we see the cleansing of Isaiah, because before God can use you, he has to cleanse you. Amen. All right. And so Isaiah, he was set apart to do the master's will. Remember, Jesus even washed his disciples' feet right before he went to the cross. He washed his disciples' feet. And as he was washing his disciples' feet, remember, Peter didn't want him to wash his feet. Peter said, "No, Lord, really, you don't need to be washing, you know, my feet. No, Lord." And he didn't really understand what Jesus was trying to do. And Jesus says, "Peter, if I don't wash your feet, then you will have no part of me." When Peter said, "Well, if that's the case, I really want to be a part of you, Jesus. So you can go ahead and wash my whole body, because everything is dirty on me. You can just go and give me a bath." So Peter, he had a great love and a commitment for the Lord, and he wanted to be cleansed. And so Isaiah was cleansed. And then God commissioned Isaiah. That's point number 4, the commission of Isaiah. And that was in verse 8. He says, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and whom will go for us? Then I said, Here I am, send me." And so God commissioned Isaiah. How many of you know the church is founded on 2 great pillars? The first pillar is the great commandment. Anybody know the great commandments? Thou shalt, that's right, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind. And then the second great commandment is love thy neighbor as you love thyself. So on one great pillar, you have the great commandment. And then the second great pillar is the great commission. The great commission found in Matthew 28:19-20, where it says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And lo, I'll be with you always, even till the end of the age. Now, why is it that people don't carry out the Great Commission? It's simple. You can't carry out the Great Commission until you carry out the Great Commandment. You got to have a great love in order to go and help somebody. Hello, somebody. Amen. See, it's easy to help somebody when you love somebody. If you don't have that love, hello, somebody. Even at home, if you ain't got that love, it's a chore. Hello, somebody. Yes, it is. It's a chore. Love is like the motor oil in a car. It makes things go smooth. And when you got love in a relationship, see, when there's no love in a relationship, there's friction. There's friction. It's just like trying to operate a car without any oil. It's going to make a lot of... Amen. You can always tell a relationship that done went bad because it's going to start clackling, just like a car. When a car ain't got no oil, it start making noises, don't it? Amen. People who you see that make the most noise in their life, you know, they arguing and they lack love. They need some love. A lot of time, even when my wife start, you know, making noise and grumbling. You know how ladies do, you know, sometimes when they cooking in the kitchen. And you be, what's all that about? What's all that about? And so I just grab her and start kissing her. And she'd be wiping it all off. I said, no, I need to give you a good juice someone there. Yeah. Uh-huh. See, we'd have to change the atmosphere. Have to change. I said, why are you doing that? I said, you need some love that day. You needed some love. Amen. That's what you needed. You needed some love. I just want to show you that I love you, baby. Amen. Amen. Well, go get me a towel and wipe all this off of me. All right. Did I give you anything on the application? Well, let me just read that right quick so we can hear it. Remember, we fall by ourselves when we think we can stand by ourselves. We fall by ourselves when we think we can stand by ourselves. And remember, that was dealing with King Uzziah. Remember, he was a king 52 years, and then he got lifted up in pride. And remember, I gave you the Old Testament scripture that I used to have on my card. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. But see, sometimes we get the big head and we don't seek God like we used to. See, when you pull and you busted and disgusted, you pray a lot more. But when things going good and you well fed, sometimes you even go to bed without praying. You just fall asleep, you know, because, I mean, you done ate so good. You just was on the couch and you stumbled on into the bedroom and you fell asleep. But see, when you worried about, you know, your light bill and stuff, you just don't fall asleep like that. You get on your knees. And you make sure, even when you done got in the bed, you get out of the bed. Did I say my prayer? Well, let me just make sure. Amen. Because I sure want God to hear me because I need some help. That man talking about, we got till Friday. I know, and I ain't even if I gave my whole paycheck, that still wouldn't be enough. Hello, somebody. God know how to get a prayer out of you. Amen. 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 We we fall by ourselves when we think we can stand by ourselves. You can never stand by yourself. Why is that? Because you're always a child of God. You're never an adult of God. You never get to the point. Like, you know how it is when you're riding a bicycle, first start learning how to ride a bicycle. At first, you want somebody to kind of help you. But then once you think you got it, no, that's right. Go on and take your hand off the seat. You think you got it now. You can never get to the point of telling God, take your hand off my seat here. I can ride this bicycle by myself now. You never get to that point. You're getting ready to have a little crash on down there. Amen. We'll have to pick you up. Amen. Yeah, we fall by ourselves when we think we can stand by ourselves. That's some heavy theology right there. Number two, remember when a man sees God, he sees himself. Amen. You can always tell a person who's not looking at God because they're complaining about people. When you see God, you see yourself. Why is that? Because God is holy. And when you come into the presence of a holy God, you start thinking about unholiness, the unholiness and the sinfulness that's in your life. It's just like if you got a straight stick, a yard stick, and if you was a crooked stick, when you see the yard stick, what do that make you think about? It don't make you think about other folks. It start making you think about how crooked you are. Because now you see the standard and you see just how far away from the standard that you are. And so you can always tell a person who hadn't been walking with the Lord because they are looking at people. People bother them. When you really in this Bible, you bother you. If it's bothering you that you can't measure up. That, and so you, regardless what all happening out there, you are so into, I need somebody to pray for me. Yeah, you need somebody to pray for you because you realize how far from the stand. Just like Isaiah, they say he was the most godly man in his day. But look here at chapter 6, verse number 5. What did Isaiah say when he got in the presence of the Lord? He said, woe is me. Shazam! That's what he's saying. When you see God he's way up there. I'm way down here. Wow. Amen. He says, woe is me. I'm undone. Yeah. That's it. It's over with now. I'm in the presence of a holy God. He says, and not only that, I'm a man of unclean lips. Yeah. You be thinking that you good, but when you get in the presence of God, hello somebody. Amen. Amen. It's just like you think you can play ball real good. Until Michael Jordan show up. Hello, somebody. See, as long as you're playing with the kindergarten kids, you running ball all the way around. Y'all know, you dunking all on them and everything. Amen. Dunking on their 6-foot goal. You dunking all. They think that you're the best ball player in the world. Amen. Remember, God used those that want to be used. God used those. That sounds like a point out of Judges. All right, now let's go ahead and get into our lesson for today because we've got a very good lesson on the prophecies concerning the Messiah. Now, as you read the rest of chapter 6, you'll notice something here. It says here in verse number 9, he says, and he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not. See ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and convert it and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitants and the houses without man and the land be utterly desolated. So God said, you keep preaching. You just don't you stop preaching, even though they won't listen to you, even though they got eyes that can't see, ears that can't hear, they don't understand. He said, you just keep on preaching. So a lot of time we look at the results. No. It ain't about being successful. It's about being faithful. You think about Noah, preached 120 years, and nobody got saved but his family. Now, most of us would have said that Noah wasn't a good preacher. God says he was one of the best. As a matter of fact, what happened to them good preachers, if we want to call them good preachers that was famous preachers in Noah's day, what happened to them? They didn't make it on the boat, neither did their congregation. You think about what the preachers and the people that we think are popular and somebody is really nobody's in God's kingdom. It's all the way through the Bible. You look at Elijah going up against 900 prophets of Baal. Now you think about it. These was the president's preachers. Hello, somebody. That was Ahab and Jezebel preachers. And he went up against Ahab and Jezebel preachers. Now, you think about Elijah. Elijah just came from down there at the brook. Remember, what was he eating every day? Whatever the birds would bring him. Amen. The birds would bring him food in the morning and food in the evening. And drinking water out of a brook. We wouldn't say that's a successful preacher. Running around looking like a caveman. Hello, somebody. Who did Jesus say was the greatest man that ever been born? He says, out of all the men that have ever been born, that hadn't risen a greater one than John the Baptist. Now, you think about John the Baptist. What was he eating? Locusts and wild honey. Hello, somebody. So a lot of what we call successful is not successful. And God didn't ask us to be successful. See, successful means, you count numbers and stuff. As a matter of fact, what was David's greatest sin? What was his greatest sin? It was when he took that census unauthorized. When David had came to the place in his life, he says, go out there and count my army. I want to see how many folks I got. And then go out there and count all the people in the kingdom. I know I'm a big shot king now. We probably got over 1 million and some folks out there in the kingdom. Yeah. And God struck all them people down. See, whatever you start putting your faith in and your pride in and get lifted up in pride, God start taking that away from you. You start having problems. Whatever becomes your God, God will attack your idols in your life. Amen. If your car start becoming an idol, God's going to take that idol. Amen. Amen. He's going to fix it where you will just praise him. Sometimes people in our life become idols, and that's why we fall out a lot of times. Because God lets you know you can't always count on people in them. There's only one person that you can really count on all the time, and that's God Almighty. And so he tells him, you keep preaching until I bring judgment on these people. All right, now, as we go into chapter 7, God now is going to give us some a prophecy about the Messiah is coming. As a matter of fact, how many of you know things going to get worse and worse until Jesus come back? It's just a sign of the times. You know, they are wondering about, you know, what to do with the guns. And actually, you know, we're going back to cowboy days. Are y'all aware of that? We're going back to cowboy, because they're talking about, you know, having guns now on college campuses and stuff like that. Yeah, and so, but you know, I believe folks be packing, whether you know it or not. I just think folks be because it's a concealed weapon. Hey, so you don't really know, you know, what a person is carrying in these purses and stuff. No, you really don't. Amen. Amen. That's why I'm very careful. I'm glad Mama taught me to be polite, particularly to women folks, because you don't know what they got in them purses. Amen. A lady with that purse that big, I let her know right quick. Let me open this door for you, because I'm on your side. Amen. My Lord. Let's go on a little bit further. Chapter 7, verse number 14. 7:14. Actually, it picks up at verse number 7. Let's pick up at verse 7. Thus said the Lord God, it shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass, for the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin. And within 65 years shall Ephraim be broken, that it be not a people. And the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Rakhalan's son. If ye will not believe, now look at this verse here. If ye will not believe, surely ye shall not be established. And God said, if you don't believe what I say, you're not going to stand. Moreover, the Lord spoke again unto Ahaz. Now, this is another king in Isaiah's day. So this is the third king that we're looking at. Ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depths or in the height above. But Ahaz says, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. Now, he's trying to be so spiritual. Now, he got all the, this is the king that's got all these idol gods, and he's been trying to get these idol gods to help him whoop up on these nations. God said, just ask me. Matter of fact, if you want a sign, ask me for a sign. He says, oh, Lord, no, I can't ask for a sign because I don't want to tempt the Lord thy God. Now, he's being all spiritual now. Isn't that something? Notice what God says. And he says, hear ye now, O house of David. Is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will ye weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. You don't want no sign? Well, I'll give you a sign anyway. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. What do that name mean? God with us. With us. And so we have a prophecy that God
sent down the glory.
If you would like a copy of the message that you have just heard in its entirety, please call the church office at 972-257-3766. That's 972-257-3766. 3766, or visit the church website at BibleWayIrving.org. That's BibleWayIrving.org. And come by and worship with us this Sunday morning at 11 o'clock at BibleWay Community Baptist Church. And tune in tomorrow as we take a look in the book.